Let's join our hearts together, please, for a moment of prayer at this time. Our beloved Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for the blessings Thou hast given us already as we've met together to worship Thee. And we especially thank Thee for the opportunity we've had of the singing of hymns. And not just the singing of the melody of the hymns, but those, the tunes with the words and the beautiful words and how those words put to music bring joy to our hearts. Now, O Lord, we ask Thee to be with us as we're about to enter into the preaching and hearing of Thy Word. Bless Thy servant to preach Thy Word in power and demonstration of Thy Holy Spirit. And then we ask Thee to be with Thy people as they listen. Bless all of us, speaker and listeners, with ears to hear, hearts to understand, and to remember those things that we've heard this morning, and that we not use them in our everyday lives to honor and to glorify Thee. We thank Thee that things are as well with us as they are, but we're mindful of others who've asked an interest in prayer. We ask that Thy richest blessings might be with them in every needed way, we pray. Watch over and care for us and forgive us of our sins. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 18. Again, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 18. And this verse of Scripture reads, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider this and other related verses of Scripture. Now, he begins this particular verse with the expression, "In everything, give thanks." So with the command, "In everything, give thanks." I don't know that that means that we are to give thanks for everything. Now, I don't know if our home was destroyed, that we would give thanks for the fact that our home was destroyed. And yet we are to give thanks in spite of everything. I remember the wife of one of our preachers. They suffered the loss of their home. And finally they could get in there, and underneath all of that rubble, they found pictures of their families. Now, every one of you know that that is something that's very precious. They thought, surely they lost those things, but they were thankful that even though they lost their home, and it was a total loss, by the way, then they were able to save those few things because they themselves also. But while we may not be, this may not be teaching us to be thankful for everything, but we are to give thanks in spite of things. We are to give thanks in spite of things. One of the persons I thought about a person who gave, in fact, even for things that were disagreeable, and you may have remembered this name, a woman who passed away a number of years ago, Corrie ten Boom. She and her family hid some Jews back in Holland, back in the days when the Nazis were in power. They had overtaken them, and they had a very good place to hide people. But eventually, as you might imagine, they were found out. And they were put in a concentration camp. I think Corey's sister, Dixie, died in a concentration camp. She was more sickly than Corey. Their mother and father, if I'm not mistaken, also died in a concentration camp. Maybe not the same one. But Corey survived. But what about part of that story, which is a movie, by the way, called The Hiding Place? Have you ever seen it? We saw it back in the 70s, because we saw it before we got married. But anyway, it was a very good movie, and I'd recommend it to anyone. But in that, they were in the concentration camp, and they had trouble with life, as you might, because conditions weren't clean there, and they had trouble with life. And Corey was complaining about the life. And Betty said we should be thankful for the life. And of course, why would we be thankful for the life? She says it's because of the life that the Nazis don't come down there. And she said, thank God for life, because there was a blessing even with something that's so disagreeable as life. I remember Brother Olin and Sister Sarah Brantley. They were both members of the College Primitive Baptist Church in Macon. They lived in Macon on Montpelier Avenue, and they were people that retired so that they could travel. Now, they traveled in a different way than most people. They wanted to go to association meetings, to Bible conferences, and other meetings like that. That's why they retired. That's what they wanted to do when they retired. Not only did they want to do that, they did that. There were times that there were 10 associations among our people, and they went to all of them, with the exception, maybe the one in Texas. They went to all of the association meetings some year. They loved the Lord that much. They were getting ready to go to the association the next morning, and Brother Olin went out to carry the garbage out, and someone killed him for $20. And Sister, now, can you imagine how Sister Sarah would have felt, and how you would have felt if your spouse had been killed like that? And she said, Lord, help me not to be bitter. That is, in spite of that horrible thing happening to her, she praised the Lord. I remember Sister LaRue Mallon. She and her husband, I think his name was Walter. I was trying to think about that more. I think his name was Walter. They were good Christian people, faithful members of the Statesboro Primitive Baptist Church. And one morning, Sister LaRue got up, and immediately, very quickly, she realized that he had passed away. Her first words, the first thought that she had was, thank you, Lord, for X number of years, months, and days. So she thanked the Lord for that. In spite of the fact that he passed away, she thanked the Lord that she has all that many years, months, and days with her husband. It's an amazing thing. One I wrote about, by the way, in a about a set of lessons that's going to come out in about a year from now, I suppose, was that I wrote about the troubles of Job. And I wrote about the experience of Elder John McWheat. I don't know if any of you ever knew him, but he was a godly man. Though he had to work a regular job in Indianapolis, yet he spent 2 hours every night in his study, studying the Word of God. That's how faithful he was, in spite of the difficulties. He retired, I'm sure, but he disciplined his life in that way. Later on in his life, he got cancer. And I talked to his wife about this. There was one particular thing that I'm not going to get into that right now. But she told me, his wife would have told me, she said, first when he got cancer, he said, why me? And then he said, why not me? What's so good about me that I want to have those things? And so the idea, in spite of that difficulty in life, instead of complaining, he was praising the Lord for the blessings that God had done for him. And so, listen, those are some examples of people, in spite of the difficulties in life, they praise the Lord. Listen, brothers and sisters, we always have reasons to be thankful. James chapter 1, verse 17 reads, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father. Let me see. Let me turn it over and make sure I get that correct. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right? God gives good gifts. God gives good gifts. Now, let me say concerning the good gifts you give, that's the worst kind of gift you'll ever get from God. And that's a good gift. So you're not going to get any bad gifts from God, because God only gives good and perfect gifts. That is, those kinds of gifts that God gives, good gifts and perfect gifts. And so that's what God does. But again, the worst kind of gift you'll ever get from the Lord is a good gift. Now, and this, I think, refers to the natural blessings of life, regardless of what it may be. And we should be thankful for them, for the natural blessings of life. And we should remember that everything we have is from the Lord. Now, you have groceries in your refrigerator. You may get out from there, or from on the stove, it's warming, or whatever, for your meal as you go home. Or you may go to one of the restaurants, and you say, well, I earned the money to pay that. That's fine. Who gave you the money? Who gave you the ability to do the job you do so you could earn the money? God gave you that ability. Degrees or whatever you might have, God gave you the ability to get those degrees. God gave us the ability to do everything, and so those gifts are from the Lord. Now, and we need to be thankful for all those blessings. And again, since everything we have is from the Lord, therefore, we should give thanks for them. Thanksgiving Day is all about material blessings. It came, by the way, give you a piece of history, the first Thanksgiving Day came out of the feast of Home and Harvest, I believe it was, or Harvest and Home, one or the other, in Great Britain. These were English people that came to the Americas, and they were accustomed to that particular festival of Harvest and Home, or vice versa. And listen, they had had an extremely bad winter. They had poor crops, and during that winter, either by malnutrition or exposure to the elements, but in that very bad winter, many of them died. A large percentage of them died. But the Indians showed them how they could grow this, that, the other, and so forth. And they had a good harvest. Now, can you imagine why they would not be thankful for that? And so that's the background we have. Thanksgiving Day is being thankful for a good harvest. And so we need to be thankful for the good gift that God has given us. And so God help us to always remember that. God also gives us perfect gifts. They're good gifts, again, and they're perfect gifts. And the perfect gifts that God has given us are the blessings of salvation by the grace of God. Now, remember the expression, every good gift and every perfect gift? All right. The word perfect is translated from the Greek word, which is teleos. Teleos. That's the form of the word, or another word that I'm going to show you, is the form of this and one or the other, I'm sure, without a shadow of a doubt. And that is the Greek word teleos. And I don't know which is the root of the other. I have to find out, I suppose. But again, it's all Greek for me. But nevertheless, it's very similar to the word teleo. And the word teleo is translated into three words that Jesus said, "It is finished." And so the perfect gift that God gives us, or has given us, are those gifts of salvation by the grace of God. In fact, the word gift is translated from the Greek word either charis or charis, one or the other, and I can't remember for sure. I pronounce it both ways, I'm sure. But anyway, it comes from that Greek word, and it means gift. Grace means gift. And so these are the perfect gifts that God has given us. Now, God has saved us by His amazing grace in Jesus Christ the Lord. That, my brother and sister, is a perfect gift. Jesus spoke about treasures from heaven, and there are treasures in heaven, and we can see those treasures in heaven. More about those in just a moment. But as far as the gift of salvation by the grace of God, it is a perfect gift because it is something that will never fade away. It will not rust. No one can ever steal it from us. It is something that we will never lose. God has saved us by His amazing grace, and we will never lose this salvation by His amazing grace. That will not happen. We may sometimes not experience the joy of salvation by the grace of God, but we'll never lose our salvation. Thank the Lord for that. Excuse me. And that is one reason why that is a perfect gift. All right? But along with that, there are blessings that go with that. That is the salvation by the grace of God. And that is the knowledge of our salvation. Look with me, if we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and verses 6 and 7. In the previous verses, I mentioned how God saved us by His amazing grace by giving us spiritual life, even though we were before then dead in trespasses and sins. But verses 6 and 7 tell us that He had something. He said, and has raised us up together. Now think about this. When I thought about that, I thought about the scripture in the Old Testament. Said he brought me out of the miry clay and set me on a solid rock. And then raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now think about that just a moment. sit together. What does that mean? Well, when we're sitting, generally speaking, we're resting. And so God has blessed us to rest together in Jesus Christ the Lord. We're able to sit together and rejoice in the blessings that God has given us. All right? So we're able to sit together in what way? In heavenly places. And listen, brothers and sisters, when we come here, and God blesses us to worship in spirit and in truth, this is a heavenly place. This place here is no different from any other place except for the fact that God, when we've met together, in Psalm 46, by the way, has promised that He will meet together with us. When we come for the purpose of worshiping God in spirit and truth, and when we come because we love the Lord and want to put Him before all other people and saints and allies, and when we come together because we love one another and want to exhort one another to be strong in the faith, then God will meet with us. And then indeed, brothers and sisters, will be a heavenly place. I remember when I was pastor at Atlanta Church, I'd go upstairs and I'd go to the study and had some good times there. But before I went inside the study there, I'd come down to the pulpit, which is, by the way, shaped pretty much like this one, and I'd get behind that pulpit and I would think of Elder Maurice Thomas, Elder P.O. Rebel Jr., Elder Hart Sims, and other great preachers of the gospel. I think about them, and I feel chill bumps, and then I get behind that pulpit, and I pray that the Lord would be with me and bless you there. Listen, there though I was the only one in the building that time, it was a heavenly place. And the reason it was a heavenly place is because God manifests Himself there even to know more than me. And I thank the Lord for that. Alright, now let's see. Now, He raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, and then that's for a reason. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is, we don't get it all when we come here, but we get a little bit of time. Like Ruth, when she gleaned in the fields of Boaz, and then the barley harvest, and then later on in the wheat harvest, when she did that. And Boaz realized that she was something special. And he told his workers, now, do something special for her that you don't do for the other gleaners. There were things she had right to do, I suppose you might say, because the law required those things. But Boaz says, now listen, go beyond what the law requires. Bless her with more than that. So as she was gleaning in the field, she got a little bit at a time, but she even got more. And listen, brothers and sisters, when we come to the house of God, God can bless us to glean in the field of His Word. We don't get it all at one time. We won't do it. We don't get it all within one year. But as it comes to one Sunday, we get a little bit. And we can add back to what we know already. We come to the next Sunday, we can add something there. We add and we add and we add, and God will bless us through the years to glean more of His truth. And so we come together, brothers and sisters, and God blesses us together to sit together in heavenly places to show us the marvels of His grace. Now listen, that's one of the blessings of our salvation. And then the self-presence of the Spirit of God. And then the fellowship of the saints. Listen, it makes my heart rejoice to see you in the congregation. And what a great blessing it is when we can meet together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, just being here together. I eat lunch at Norris's some days at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the reason I go there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because there are two other men that normally get there. One is a pastor of another church here in this county. And he and I don't see the same things alike. He knows he probably does. I know it, but I don't bring up those sort of things, because he never has either. But he mentioned something one day last week or a week before, I guess it was. And I said, well, we don't see the same thing out here, but that's not the point. And we just went on from there. But here, and then there's the other man. He's not from the Baptist either. But the thing is, I can sit with those two men, and the times we've sat together, I've never heard anything, never heard any profanity. I've never heard anything that's the least bit off color from them. And you see, brothers and sisters, there's a certain fellowship we have. There are certain things we don't fellowship in, but there's a certain fellowship we have of just being with Christian people. And, of course, I have that with you, and I have more than that with you. And thank the Lord for that. So the fellowship of the Lord's saints is something that is extremely important. Now, that's in everything you think. But what does he say about that? He gives an explanation about that. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And by the way, that's us. Now, Peter wrote this during the first century to a group of Jews, by the way. When he lived in the first century, none of us ever been Jews either. But the fact is, that's for us as the people of God. Now, do we want to follow the will of God? Well, some say that they don't know the will of God. Well, in everything, I don't know that any of us do. But it is God's will for us to be faithful. And that's one thing we need to remember. We may not know the will of God in a lot of different things. We may learn, but right now we don't know the will of God in a lot of different things. But one thing we can say is, it is the will of God for us to be thankful. That is, every command in God's Word is important. And yet the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to write this. And giving thanks in everything, or in spite of everything, not for everything necessarily, but in everything, regardless of circumstances, it is our responsibility to give thanks. Now, last Sunday I tried to preach that from a verse in the book of Ezekiel. And I mentioned how important it was to look at that particular verse of Scripture in the context. It gives us a different meaning than if you just take it out and look at it. Now, think about this verse of Scripture, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That seems to say what it means, mean what it says, and stand alone. Well, it does. Nothing can change the meaning of that, I don't suppose, but as I mentioned last Sunday, as you look at any verse of Scripture, in the context, the meaning is not necessarily changed, but is at least enhanced as we look at it in the context. And so we need to look at this particular verse of Scripture in the context. Now let me turn back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 again. Now, and this particular verse of Scripture is in the middle of several different verses of Scripture that good practical instruction for us to live in our everyday lives. Now look, first of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. And it reads, if I get over in 1 Thessalonians, it was probably explain it better than 1 Timothy. Okay. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, rejoice evermore. I mentioned in the very beginning some difficulties in life, and you have them, or you've had them, you may have them now. Catherine and I have had them, and I can't think of any extreme difficulties in life now, but we don't know what our future is going to be, and none of us have to do either. But the fact is, every one of us, we've all had some difficulties in life. But yet, in spite of that, the Word of God says, rejoice evermore. And one of the ways that we can rejoice is by giving thanks. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we will be happier people if we do what's said in our text. That is, if we in everything give thanks. So regardless of circumstances, we know that some reason, or more than one reason, we have to be thankful. And if we're always thankful, then in spite of the difficulties of life, we will be happier people. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it reads here, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. All right? Now, we cannot always pray with our heads bowed and eyes closed, as you know, you don't need me to say that, but we can always, I think, be in a spirit of prayer. And our prayers should be full of thanksgiving. That's part of our prayers. Our prayers should be full of thanksgiving. I remember years ago, I wish I could remember all of these things. I remember at a vestry, a prayer meeting, in those Georgia Commons, in the Walter Auditorium, big auditorium, much classes as big as at least about 20 people in there. But a minister from Compton, I suppose it was, came and he gave us a message about prayer. Good message, by the way. And I wish I could remember all of that. But one of the things he said, this longest finger should be thanksgiving. The longest thing, more than anything else, our prayers should be full of thanksgiving. And one was praise and adoration. We start with that, and I don't remember this one or this one. But then the smallest finger should be ourselves. The smallest finger should be ourselves. But again, the thing I always remember more than any else of it is the fact that the longest finger should represent thanksgiving. That is, in our prayers, it should be full, have more thanksgiving than anything else in the prayers. But again, we can be a constant spirit of prayer, and our prayers should be full of thanksgiving. We should praise the Lord. And I remember a message of a brother preached years ago on praising the Lord. He used the model prayer, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And the model prayer begins with the praise of God. And the model prayer ends with the praise of God. And the one request that seems like I can remember is, give us this day our daily bread. That's a good prayer, by the way. Listen, give us this day our daily needs, whatever those needs may be. It could be food. It could be transportation. It could be clothing. Whatever the needs are, give us this day the basic needs of life. Give us what we need in life. And listen, we all have so much more than that. But then, give us this day our daily bread. Remember the words of Jesus? I am the bread of life. Lord, give us Jesus. Let us feel Jesus. Let us see Jesus. Let us rejoice in Jesus. And let that be bread for our souls. And so, brothers and sisters, we should certainly ask for blessings. We should also be mindful to thank God for the blessings that He's given us. And then we can appreciate them more when we give thanks for them. And so then this is, remember the text, pray without ceasing, and whatever I have, then I should constantly thank the Lord for that. Whenever I put this suit on, about 6 times from now, I guess it is, because I put them in a certain order and whatever, unless there's a special occasion for whatever reason, minister school or whatever. But I should thank the Lord for blessing me with this suit, with this shirt, with this tie, the shoes, and everything that I'm wearing. I ought to thank the Lord for that. And listen, if I'm mindful that the Lord has blessed me with all that I have, then I brush my hair. The Lord blessed me with a hairbrush. Now, that's something we don't think about. I don't anyway. Regretfully, I'll confess right now, but everything we have, if we're thankful of that, again, we're going to be happy people. But by thanking the Lord for the blessings is something that should be done without ceasing. Now, and then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, the positive, preach not the Spirit. It is God's will for us to be thankful. That's what we see in our text this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Again, it is God's will for us to always be thankful. And the Holy Spirit leads us to always be thankful. You say, well, how do you know He leads us to always be thankful? He's already done it. Because it says in everything, He inspired the Apostle Peter to write these words, and He inspired him to write in everything give thanks. And then by finishing up by saying, well, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Listen, the Spirit has already led us to do that. We just need to obey what He said. Alright? But the Spirit leads us according to the will of God. That's the will of God. And so the Spirit leads us in that way. Now, the question is, do we want to be led by the Spirit? And if we push the Spirit, we are not following His leadership. And if we don't do that, that's one way that we don't follow His leadership. And if we don't, we will not experience His self-trust. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, if we do what God says in His Word, whether it's this or regardless of what it may be, God will bless us with the self-trust of His Spirit. Now, one thing, we glorify God when we give thanks in all things. And that is, we truly praise when we do so in spite of difficulty. I mentioned the Bible study lessons I wrote recently, and the subject was Job and his suffering and so forth. And Job praised the Lord and said in the very beginning of the book of Job, he was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. Now, if you're like me, you don't use the word eschewed every moment of your life or every other word. But listen, I mean, he shunned evil. If we saw evil, he did what he could to depart from it. Or if he saw evil at a distance, he stayed away from it. That's an amazing thing about Job. He was a godly man. And he praised God in his life. Well, you're familiar with some of the sufferings that Job had. And I'm not going to get into all of them, but he suffered physically with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Regardless of whatever position he may have been, he was putting pressure on that, and Job hurt. Not only that, but I had one years ago somewhere along here. I can't remember just exactly where it was. But anyway, I could probably find it if I took my shirt off. But regardless of that, I'm sorry to share that. But listen, that particular boil gave me a fever. Now, can you imagine how Job felt when he had them all over his body? He was a sick man. And yet he said, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In spite of the difficulties in his life, Job praised the Lord. So God help us, brothers and sisters. Others have. And God help us to do as we're commanded here in this passage of Scripture. That's not a commandment just for you. It's a commandment for me also. In everything, give thanks. God help us is my prayer for Christ.